Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our Old Testament reading of Isaiah. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. In the name of Jesus. I was going to start this sermon by asking you to picture a busy and bustling mall, but who even goes to malls anymore? Today we live in a world of technology, of ever-invisible cloud, where entrepreneurs hawk their wares to everybody, anywhere, who has a phone in their pockets, a laptop in their study. The deals, they come to you, advertisements flooding your search engine and plaguing your inboxes. Everyone is promising a deal too good to be true. Buy one and get three free. 75% off your first purchase. Get a $50 gift with every $100 you spend. We all know that these are silly little offerings that don't actually deliver what they promise. Like that email that we've all received from that Nigerian prince. It's in fine print. That's where they get you, isn't it? Where you realize that the deal is only valid on the 30th day of February. And so it's only natural for us to see these people as grifters, as charlatans, fools, and snake oil salesmen. If it's too good to be true, then it probably is. And so then we go about trying to find the real deals, the ones that offer goods and services at reasonable prices, because after all, you do get what you paid for. And if I'm going to have to pay for something anyway, I better make sure that that thing's going to last, that it's going to be worth my while. We're all ready and willing to put down a pretty penny for something that we really need or something that we really want, especially if that something is going to last a lifetime. And if we don't have the money today, we'll put it on credit and we'll pay for it in installments, or we'll work extra hard and we'll save up our spare change so that we can purchase it in full. This is the way of the world. It's the way of the free market system that we all love so much. And it all makes sense, this bartering and paying, exchanging something of mine so that I can get something of yours. None of us really do expect a free handout. If you want to eat, then you better work. But then this Jesus guy comes around, like some shopkeeper down at the marketplace, and he starts blaring from his megaphone of free stuff. Come, buy wine and milk without money. And without price, he says, which is a complete and utter contradiction in terms. And we all know it, right? To buy something means to pay for something. I reach into my wallet, I grab a couple bucks, and you give me what's on your shelf that's been so enticing. And when we hear that something is free, we all know in our heart of hearts that there's no such thing as free. We're going to pay for it. One way or another, either today or tomorrow. And so we see Jesus and his offering as something akin to that scene in The Godfather where Marlon Brando, he grants the Undertaker a favor, but we all know that there's going to be a day when a certain service will be required of him. And that's why the sinner in us just marches on past Jesus' eternal emporium, quite sure that the promises promised are impossible for him to keep. But as we keep on walking through the marketplace, over to the stores where shopkeepers are not talking nonsense, Jesus asks us a question. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? You see, Jesus knows what's down the block in those stores. He knows that the shelves in those stores, they're full of bread that's all moldy and stale, of wine that's nothing better than two-buck chuck, and milk that's gone sour over a week ago. He knows that those shopkeepers will gladly take all the money that's in your wallet and give you a bag of garbage in return, will happily have you sweep the floors for the promise of a meal that will never come. And so he calls to all of us urgently, telling us that we won't be satisfied in anything that we purchase elsewhere, that we will have to keep going back to those fraudulent shopkeepers with the hope that the next time they'll actually give us what they promise, even though they never will. And so perhaps we should just take a moment. We should think about that actual question that Jesus puts in front of us. Why do we spend all of our money for that which is not bread, and our labor for that which does not satisfy? Why do we do this? Why is the idea of paying for something? And by now, we should just get down to the real point. We should stop talking about bread and wine and milk, because Jesus, Yahweh, in Isaiah, he really isn't talking about that anyways. He's talking about the things of eternal importance, the things of heaven, the things of wiping red off of your ledger and making yourself right with God right before we are able to take that dirt nap that's quickly coming to us. So why, after all of those things, why is paying for them so very enticing to us? Well, if we're honest with ourselves, there's probably a lot of reasons. And the first is probably the easiest to understand because it makes so much sense. It makes sense that we have to pay to get into heaven. It makes sense that if we screw things up along the way, we have to make those things right. It makes sense that we have to have at least a little bit of skin in the game if we want to make this salvation thing our own. And so working our way to heaven, paying the price for that entrance ticket to the eternal, it just makes sense. And the second reason, and I think this might just be the main reason, whether we ever want to admit it out loud or not, is we like the idea of earning our keep. We love the feeling that we've done what is needed, what's required, what's demanded of us. We like to be able to puff out our chest and hang that gold medal that we've earned on our wall. No one likes a participation trophy, because a participation trophy means that everyone gets the same exact thing at the end of the day, no matter how hard they tried. And I'll be a monkey's uncle before I let someone who hasn't worked as hard as I have to receive the same prize at the end. And so even more than works righteousness making sense, works righteousness makes us feel good. And for the sinner, there isn't anything better than feeling good. But there's probably another reason why we have such a hard time with this free gift of grace thing that Jesus promises to us. And that's doubt. And let's be honest here. Who among us doesn't find ourselves doubting the promises of God every now and again? Goodness. Perhaps you're sitting there right now with a whole head full of doubt. And maybe you've been that way for longer than you would like to admit and longer than you can even remember. Maybe that's all that you've known for the past however long it's been, but it seems like an eternity. Maybe all you've known is doubt and you don't know how to do anything except doubt. Maybe this is you. Maybe this has been you. Most certainly it will be you at some point in the future. It is for all of us. And so when we hear Jesus the shopkeeper and his advertisement of wine without money and bread without price, you can't for the life of you get yourself to stop doubting his words, just waiting for the moment when he rips the rug out from under you and you fall flat on your face. Well, friends, if any of these reasons sound like you, then you found yourself in pretty good company. For the sinner in us hears these foolish words of our Lord, and we just want to walk on by, down to the shop that makes sense, into the bodega that gives us pride in the things that we've bought, over to the retailer where doubt doesn't happen. The people in our Old Testament reading were in the same marketplace as you. Your neighbors are as well. In fact, every single person that's ever walked the face of this earth is the same type of works righteousness, prideful, doubtful shopper as you. You see, the place where the sinner gets all hung up is he hears Jesus offering things that are completely and totally free. And he knows that nothing's free. So the sinner believes that Jesus is telling a giant lie. And I know, I get it, I've been there. Most certainly will be again. But that's where we get it wrong. These things of milk without money and wine without price, these things of heaven and forgiveness and eternal life and being right with God, they're not free. I mean, they are for you. But they didn't come without a price. They weren't free for Jesus. Incline your ear and come to me, Jesus says. Hear that your soul may live. Jesus has made an everlasting covenant with you. Did you hear that? He made the covenant with you, not the other way around. He has made a promise with you, promise of a covenant. And covenants aren't just a gentleman's agreement based upon a handshake, but they're cut. They're sealed with blood, with his blood, bought and paid for, bled and died for. He made this covenant with you. Because without him doing so, without him going to the cross and paying for all of the things that you need for eternal life, the only shops in the marketplace would be the ones that charge you an arm and a leg that you can't afford. But none of those shops can actually give what they advertise to you. The picture they promise is never what they actually hand out to you in the bag. And the price that they display is always going to be more than you have in your wallet. So Jesus, he went to the cross with a blank check in hand and he signed it with his own blood so that he could purchase for you everything that you could ever need. That's why you get to hear Jesus today, the shopkeeper offering you his wares, free and clear, no down payment needed, no credit check required. It's all for you. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's just Jesus' way of saying to you, come and receive from me your full and complete forgiveness. What is that you say? Your wallet's empty? Good. I wouldn't have it any other way. I didn't want your money to begin with. Never did, never will. I just want to give to you what is mine. What I've already paid for 1,000 times over and then some. Come, bring your empty sack and I'll fill it to the brim. And when you've eaten your fill over the course of this week and you find your sack empty once again, come here next week, the week after that too. And don't worry about the shelves ever being empty. I've got 12 storerooms in the back of leftovers. They're just waiting to be eaten by penniless sinners just like you. And friends, do you know the best part of all of this? Apart from the side that you get to eat for free, is that you get to go out and tell everyone else in the marketplace about Jesus' eternal emporium. That's what it means in our Old Testament reading. When Isaiah says, behold, you shall call a nation that you did not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. You get to be a witness to this whole wide wicked world, telling them about Jesus, the foolish shopkeeper who gives away everything for free, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And yeah, I know it sounds too good to be true, but it is. It's true. And let's be honest. No matter how you slice it, there's nothing better than free, especially when you're talking about the things of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.